Now to a significant development this week in the long journey towards Australians understanding, eventually, maybe, what they pay in superannuation fees. Remembering that various reports within the last 3 years concluded that ours are high by comparison with overseas systems, the Grattan Institute claims they could be reduced by half because they're that far out of alignment with the OECD average. The corporate regulator, ASIC, has agreed to a review of what's known as the super disclosure rules introduced into this highly competitive superannuation marketplace. Let's face it, there's a barely concealed outright propaganda war on between the industry funds and the retail funds, mostly but not solely owned by banks and big insurance companies. What exactly constitutes a fee or a charge is being hotly disputed, and the ultimate definition without a doubt affects the retirement incomes of us all. Now, there's a bit of backstory to this latest development, which I'll let Scott Donald explain. He's Deputy Director of the Centre for Law, Markets and Regulation and a Senior Lecturer at the University of New South Wales. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Scott, could we just go back a little step, please, as to what happened 2 months ago with these new laws and what this decision this week represents, please?
Certainly. Look, there's been in the rule books for some time a requirement that superannuation funds disclose the fees and charges and costs that they incur in managing and administering portfolios. And about 4 or 5 years ago, it was decided to try to regularise that, to make it a standard, so that people would know that when they're looking at one set of numbers, that they were comparable to the numbers they were getting from some other fund, for instance. And so, it, obviously, trying to get that standardisation takes time, and the date set for that was the 30th of September this year. That, we all thought that was going to be the end of the game, that by that stage everybody would be doing things the same way, that you'd be able to look at one set of numbers and compare it to another without too many concerns. What this announcement from ASIC suggests is that actually we haven't got to the end, that actually there's still more work to be done in that. And I guess that's something of a concern. It's a little disappointing. But on the other hand, what we're trying to do here is actually quite complicated. And there's considerable diversity across the superannuation industry in terms of how products are designed and so on. And so unfortunately, particularly for this time of the morning, it's very technical.
And I'm trying to, because that's obviously part of the problem. But this is, if I read it properly, ASIC has announced an independent overview of this new disclosure regime known as RG97 for some reason. So will that produce anything?
Well, I mean, part of the problem, of course, is that the industry is so split by the various factions that are involved, and so the regulator and anybody else that's trying to kind of develop policy in this space gets all sorts of submissions, and very often they have very self-interested motives for people who are giving these submissions. So what this, I think, is trying to do is perhaps break that problem slightly and put someone in the middle who can perhaps act as a mediator and say, well, these concerns are legitimate, these pieces of feedback aren't, and try to find a midway through that's sensible and actually gives consumers what they need, which is accurate information.
Yeah, because the whole thesis behind this is that if consumers know, just as with, say, telephone plans, mind you, they're pretty hard too, or health plans, then competition will bring the plans down, the fees down, because people will pressure and will move around, will move their investments around or their money around. That's the theory behind it, isn't it?
That's certainly part of it, Geraldine. The issue of competition is obviously an important one. The big issue, though, is that we've designed a system where we actually are requiring individuals to make choices at various points. And if they can't make those choices confident that the information they have available to them is right, then they really are a bit of a problem. So competition is one aspect of it. And that, I'm sure, will help. But it's also about keeping people accountable and giving members confidence in the transparency and accountability of the funds that they're using and the trustees and the organisations that they're employing to manage their funds.
Scott Donald is my guest. He's from the Senior Lecturer at the University of New South Wales, and we're talking about these changes to superannuation to try to help you understand what is actually going on there. So can you see, Scott, whether there could be a realistically easy way for people to understand their superannuation statements better?
Look, I think we've come a long way. It's, we may be dealing with some residual issues, particularly around things like how do you understand the fees being charged if you invest through a platform rather than directly, say, in an industry fund. And that's an important question to be addressed. But the industry and ASIC, for that matter, have worked very hard to try to get much more regularity in terms of how the fees are. So I think it'd be easy to overestimate just how big the problem is here. So there's certainly some technical work to be worked out, and that's what ASIC is trying to signal. But we can be much more confident than we were, say, 5 years ago, that what we're looking at is consistently calculated.
Right. And look, just because this is a particularly bad line, I just want to check about this issue of what seems to be at the core of it as to what is regarded as a fee versus what is a charge. So, say, industry funds that invest more in unlisted property have numerous charges, as I understand it, like stamp duty and so on. And they're arguing that to reflect these costs as a fee, as opposed to a related charge, puts them at a disadvantage in this extraordinary, argument and battle they have with the retail funds. Is that really at the core of this, or, bringing it to the surface?
I think that's a very valid issue to raise. There's no doubt. I mean, why do we care about the difference between fees and charges? Well, because we want to know who's receiving the money. In many cases, the sorts of costs that are being incorporated into what appear to be fees aren't being received by the fund or by the trustee, but are being paid only somewhere else. And so they ought to be regarded as costs, really. But how you structure the portfolio underneath can make a big difference to how that's recognised under this new regime, this reporting regime.
Okay. So this review, when does it have to report?
Well, the indications are that it will report during the course of next year, but in the first half of next year. My suspicion is that they haven't announced who will be heading the review or the independent expert will be, but it's an ongoing process, quite clearly. They're continuing to discuss. ASIC has indicated that funds need to continue to report accurate information, that the law doesn't change. The fact that there's a consultation about exactly how some of the details work doesn't affect that. But certainly by the middle of next year, we'd be expecting to see some clarity on some of these more knotty issues.
And I wonder whether the ads on television will be affected as a result. Scott Donald, thank you very much indeed for casting some light on those decisions.
Thank you very much.
Scott Donald, Deputy Director of the Centre for Law, Markets and Regulation, Senior Lecturer at the University of New South Wales.